Hello. Hello. Hi. This is Vic Berger talking. And if you're hearing me right now, there's a major problem. It's a big, big problem. Because that means you are not part of the Office Hours Live Patreon community membership patron page. And that's a problem for you. Because you're missing out on so much exclusive content. The latest addition to the Office Hours Patreon membership is a deep dive into the life and career of Mr. Billy Joel, otherwise known as William Martin Joel. I bet you didn't know that. We go deep into the Joel hole. We go way down, we find out what makes him tick, what makes people hate him so much, what makes so many people love him so much, and we just find out why is he not getting the respect that he may deserve. With that, I will hopefully see you on the Patreon membership page very soon. Goodbye!
Next week is a holiday week. Let me welcome my guests from Bleachers, the band Bleachers. Jack Antonoff is here. Jack,
how's it going?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
What is happening with you got a whole bunch of stuff coming up these days with music. You're producing mostly.
Yeah.
Who's your latest find? Who you've been working with now? For a while now.
Well, I mean, I work with established artists as well. Like, I have new finds, but then there's established people.
Taylor too. Swift?
No.
Really?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, you did work with her, produced her. I mean, you didn't like...
Yeah.
Well, cool, man.
Thanks.
You gonna stick around for the whole show, or...?
Yeah.
Cool, man. So Jack Antonoff is here... Lana Del Rey,
right?
Yeah, you don't.
But I'm
do you know
Bruce
who I'm talking
and
about?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, and Bruce Springsteen. Yeah,
yeah. I did.
What was working? What was working with him like?
It was great. We did a duet. Are you wiping down your face?
I'm sweating. Yeah.
What rag is Glendale looks behind you? Whoa.
No, Fred Armisen is here. What was it like working with Bruce Springsteen on that, Jack?
It was great. You know, we just scheduled it out. You know, we just worked on schedules.
Because he must be busy.
Yeah.
And you're busy.
I'm busy too.
Right.
We just scheduled it out. And
just figured it out. Was it like a long thing or was it kind of quick and like a one day session?
Both.
With him? Got it.
Like a, you know, sort of intimate.
Let me welcome Vic Berger to the show.
Good
Vic
morning.
Berger. Hey. Is here as well, and Doug Lusenhop. Doug is behind me. Why are we doing a show on Monday? Can anyone tell me? I feel like I've lost the plot on that. I just agreed, and I was told I was told this is what was going on today. What is the
you were
going
to have to do the show on Thursday by yourself? Because I think Matt's even gone, right? You're even out. No.
Oh, maybe not.
It would have been me and Matt. Doug and Fred, would you have been available on Thursday, or are you booked on Thursday?
No, I would have been available on Thursday.
So
it was because Doug and Vic would both have been away.
That would have been okay.
Can we
I
do both?
I figured you could replace.
I would do Thursday again.
Why don't you do Thursday again?
Why not? Sure. I mean, we can just get any old trained monkey to press buttons on a laptop.
Well, I thought you could replace me with Ricky Schroeder and then Vic.
Get
Sam Barsky.
Feldman or
Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Corey Feldman, Biggie. Let's get to this Biggie. Clip real quick. We're going to show some fun clips today. The boys have found some real diamonds in the rough. Now, Jack, I'm going to call you Fred.
Ah, now I'm getting clips. Okay, this is good.
Are you of the opinion that Corey Feldman is a good guitar player or a bad guitar player? What would be your guess on that? I assume you don't know.
Well, I give anyone the benefit of the doubt. Like, so I don't know. My assumption is that he's really good.
Okay, let's show the clip. Now, this is from a couple years ago. This is Corey Feldman. Hmm.
Live from Feld Mansion. All right, we're going to do one more song. I'm going to play guitar on this one. And Marco's going to play the violin. We like doing a little bit of this running around. Musical instruments, we call it. So this is a song also off my first album, Love Left, and it's called Walk, and it's about bad relationships. So we're going to leave you with this as a way to move on and walk if you're in that bad situation. Keep it going. LA Weekly, thank you for doing this. Facebook Live and Corey's Angels. Here we go.
How's that benefit of the doubt working for you?
So he's hitting
the chords down.
He's hitting the chords down. Sometimes those.
Oh. He's playing it like a bass now.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's got a bass technique on his acoustic.
But he has a bass player.
I wouldn't
miss. Should have been better.
They should have stopped and tuned up though. I think too.
Do you think they're out of tune?
I do think they're out of tune. Pretty sure. Yeah. Music theory person.
I think they needed a mic, like a vocal mic.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're getting the room audio.
Someone's asking if the Angels are changed now.
They don't look psyched to be there. Right?
But they're good musicians. They're playing well. The drummer is really good.
They're okay.
But I think he's
violin's
just
hitting all the right notes.
Yeah.
He's got one of those jumbo guitars too. He's a fairly normal sized man, but he got one of those big mariachi bands.
To get like a little smaller guitar.
I have a feeling like he's got like arthritis or something. He can't fully commit to pushing down the strings or something.
This is what I think.
Turn it off.
Sometimes in the rehearsals, it sounds fine in the rehearsal, yeah. And then when you're actually taping and the whole band is going. Mm-hmm. It's everything gets overwhelmed.
It's a mixing issue. You're hearing too much of the acoustic.
Yeah.
Let's take a zoomer.
I would have said, my recommendation would have been smaller guitar, maybe, or electric. There's no acoustics are weird. Acoustics guitars are just.
I don't know if that would have helped. I mean, it feels maybe the action's too high. I feel like the action's too high on the acoustic.
It's probably not a great guitar. Yeah. But I say just an electric, just like a Telecaster or something.
All right. Well, we love Corey. He's a friend.
And playing instruments isn't always easy. I mean, you know, I don't know that I would have killed it if I strapped on a guitar.
Let me see if I could do better.
Dun, 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 dun. But it was like a weird. What was the sound?
Wrong note.
A minor G.
What's the
sound? What is it?
Probably C, A minor G.
I think it's a faster turnaround. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun,
Nope.
Oh, really? That quick?
See?
Yeah. Fred's right. Yeah.
Or could he could have done this.
Better in a park than in a
Do the whole
Soho
song. Whole song, whole song.
Whole song.
Let's take a zoomer on this Monday morning, June 28th, 2021, Glendale, California, where it is hot. Hot, hot, hot. Hot, so hot, our guest is wearing
shorts.
Shorts
that I got in Italy.
Which when was we were together. I didn't buy it, no, but the shorts were not bought in my presence. I was long gone.
But it was on that trip. Right. Oh dear.
Where did you buy them in Florence?
Yeah. It was so hot, and then I just saw a shop and just got them.
Wait a minute. Let's talk through this, because were you wearing pants?
Yeah.
Jeans or pants?
Black jeans.
Black jeans. What happened to the black jeans when you got the shorts?
So the shopping bag that I got.
Got it. You don't say no more.
No.
Say no more.
No.
I get it.
Listen, the bag that they provided me
right.
for where I would usually have put the shorts.
The shorts.
I rolled up my jeans, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of rolled them up half. They almost look folded. And I...
you put them in the bag. Yeah, we get it. Yeah, we get it.
I got a question for you guys real quick. When you buy new shoes, do you wear them out?
I like to, actually.
It's kind of fun to just wear them.
Yeah, because...
Put your old shoes in the box.
Yeah, yeah. Wear them right out. But I do that.
I do that. I did that last time.
I do that. All right. How about Scott Pauly?
You know shoeboxes are good for
ready? What?
Old photos.
That's they fit right in there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, you put your old photos in old shoeboxes? Smart.
That's what my great grandfather did.
I put old mementos, like ticket stubs,
little trinkets, little gifts. They go so good in shoeboxes.
Who do you have, Matt?
Jake. You got something?
Oh, Jake Paul from
from the internet.
Who's there?
Jake.
Wow, hi. That's actually my middle name.
Jake Paul?
Yeah. What's up?
Hey.
What is it Jacob or is it Jake?
It's technically Jacob. You can call me Jake.
Yeah, I'll call you Jacob.
Okay. Can we call you Cub?
That's a new one, but yeah, you could call me that.
why do Jacob's gotta be Jake all the time? Can't they be Cub?
Woo!
All right, what do you have for me, Jake?
Kobe is a shortened form of Jacob. It's the same root.
Really? Is that Kobe Bryant's real name is Jacob?
Technically, I think it's, you know, derived from Jacob.
Hey, man.
Snoring, it's our fault.
Tim is just joking around, man. He's just goofing on you.
Dude, I don't fuck around. If somebody does something to say, I fuck around. I go right to it. I go right to the name shit. You know what I mean? I don't fuck around. What do you have, Jake? What do you have? No, what kind of car do you have? That's my question. What do you have? When somebody says, what do you have? It means, what kind of car do you have, right? You know that.
Come on, man. No, what kind of car do you have? It's a simple question. Oh, my God. Next caller.
Welcome to What Do You Have? It's our new show. We just get people's cars. Jake, what do you got?
There's a lot of celebrities.
No. What do you got is what kind of TV do you have? Samsung, Vizio, Vimeo, whatever.
LG.
LG, nice.
Everyone's getting the LGs.
I have one and I don't love it.
Wow.
I know. Everyone's dunking on me. Listen, I don't fuck around. When I go to Circuit City,
look at
TVs.
But the guy always says LG. He always says LG. There's the bigger ones, medium-sized ones. They're
fucking,
all big.
Fucking Target is now doing LGs and Samsung.
And walking to 7-Eleven, hey, LG.
Yeah,
I mean.
Okay. I guess, look, I just spent $30,000 at 7-Eleven.
LG.
No, I don't fuck around. When it comes to, like, good TVs, always got to be Samsung.
But you know what LG stands for, right?
No.
Do you not? You just buy TVs. You're
I know
I don't
it.
Care.
Life is good.
I know this
life is good. They do the
Where's
shirts
the
I, and they do
dude?
The TVs.
L-I-G then.
It's not life is good.
Jake, what do you
is
have?
It, Jake?
It's Lucky Gold Star.
Get out of town.
Wow.
Yeah. It's Korean corporations that came together and made LG.
Wow. Lucky Gold Star.
super real.
Yeah.
What's
now you know?
I have somebody, Jake. Anything else?
I don't think he got to his main thing.
I know. I'm trying to get to it.
Talk about LG.
Not. I just got unmuted, but I can come up with something.
No, that's okay. No pressure. I do see somebody with a go-kart, Joe Kart. Can we talk to Joe Kart?
Thanks, Jake. Thanks,
Cobb. Jake.
Can you hear me?
Thanks, Cobb.
Yeah, Joe.
Can you hear?
Are you?
Hey, how's it going?
What are you doing there?
Oh my God.
Dude.
Are you at Home Depot?
I've got a little game for you guys.
Good.
All right. Oh, I like this guy.
Inquiries. It's the quiz show where I don't stop the vomit comment, so you got it. So I'm gonna keep spinning and asking you questions. So you guys get it,
okay.
Vomit comment.
Let me know. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm not. I didn't eat today in preparation for this. So here we go.
Did you say you didn't heave for this?
I want one of those.
All right. What band released the 1993 smash hit Two Princes?
Spin Doctors.
Yeah. What hit political satire featured like the Michael J. Fox, Richard Pine, Charlie Sheen?
Spin City.
Heather Locklear.
Spin City. Fred got it.
Yes, correct.
Oh, they're all spin related.
Oh my God, I'm getting real cautious. Derogatory name for an unmarried woman is
Spinster.
Yeah, good. What leafy green vegetable belongs to the
spinach
family? Yes. It's my last one. It's a two-parter. You got to name the band and the song. I bet Bon Jovi would have liked to run away with this English pop group as they sung about rotating in a manner similar to vinyl LPs.
Spin me round.
Spin me round. And who's that by?
Dead or Alive.
Yeah. Nice one.
Yeah.
Oh, my shit. God. All right.
Wow.
You're free.
Where are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much for getting. I don't want to say because I'm getting off.
Yeah, wait, are you at work? Are you at Home Depot?
No, that's not Home Depot.
I'm at work right now.
That's some other. That's like
but
a
Dead
warehouse.
Or Alive didn't have spin in the answer.
Oh, yeah.
Which one didn't?
Dead or Alive.
No, I was a two-parter, so the band and the song. You guys got the song too.
Oh,
you spin
okay.
me right. You spin me around.
He never said that spin was necessarily.
Oh right, that we surmised that. We assumed that.
You guys got it.
What was a major competitor to Rolling Stone magazine in the 90s?
Spin magazine.
Yes.
Nice. Oh well, thanks for playing, guys.
Thank you for bringing some heat to the show because I don't have anything for today. I just leaning on Fred. I'm like, well, Fred's really coming in. Terrible. What do we have to worry about?
What do you got to worry about?
When a plane is crashing and going in circles.
Tailspin.
That's pretty good.
What DJ did the beats for Salt and Pepper?
Spinderella.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Yeah. Do I need to keep spinning again?
No. How about you spin until we ask you questions about barf?
Go ahead.
Who was the chef on the Nickelodeon show? You can't do that on television. That's off the top of your head, right?
He's just barf. 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 Yeah.
Barf. Oh, yeah, right. Barf.
Anyway.
But he was a terrible cook, Barf.
Yeah, apparently he wasn't very good.
He just made the worst food.
Yeah.
Like green slop.
Got to be able to find a better
chef. That was the wrong occupation for him. No.
All right. Who else, Matt? Anybody? Anybody creaming to get on?
Well, let's see. Who do we got?
Wow. You're like one of our callers, Matt.
I know.
Sari G? We haven't talked to her in a while. Sari.
Shari.
Shari. Ugh. First of all. No one wants to hear first of all.
No. That's bad news. First of all, oh God, here it comes.
Yeah. What about the?
It's more of like an all due respect. With all due respect.
First of all,
first of all, oh God.
Let's hear the first of all. First of all, what? First of all, I love the show. That's probably what you.
First of all, I want to apologize. You're like, oh, don't apologize, because what are we gonna do? Like, not accept it?
Yeah. Okay, we accept your apology.
First of all, I want to apologize to Vic. I was too cruel to Vic about his Joel Hole reading skills.
I'm working on it.
I like that you came prepared with a
written out thing.
It's
tight content.
Fred, we're doing a series about Billy Joel.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing like a sort of a an education of Billy Joel, but also a discussion about his career.
Okay.
And Vic's, the first episode, Vic kind of is sort of leading the charge on this. And it was very, it was, he read from like a doc, it was sort of like a book report about Billy Joel. And it was a little, well, I don't want to get into it again.
You could go.
Oh, see, did it get heated?
Huh? No, it didn't get heated. It was just the reading was a little
boring,
like
too boring for Tim, I think. And
you know,
I was trying to be factual about a lot of things. I studied up for weeks.
It's like when you're hearing someone read from a piece of paper, sometimes it could be a little dry.
Yeah, but what do you want him to be?
Right, I am who I am.
A better broadcast.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah, man, Billy Joel. When someone's really good at it, it's worse.
Well, what's your take on Billy Joel?
I think he had like his own category. That's like what I don't know anyone else who was like him at the time. You know what I mean? Like,
but he was like so many other artists in his like he could sound like a lot of different artists.
There was an artist like him.
I'm just thinking because it's piano.
Eddie Rabbit.
but he was guitar. But there's something about like singer-songwriter on piano
Elton.
But that's like showman. Like this is like
working man.
Working man, personal kind of like
good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy. So there's something about that like I think is unlike also like that he didn't try hard to have like a style for every decade. Like he kind of looked
he would have looked so silly. Imagine Billy dressed up like Elton.
Like Randy Newman kind of was.
Well, Randy Newman was kind of the
like the new romantic. Oh yeah, era.
Yeah, yeah.
The template. Yeah. Sari, what's going
Randy
on with you?
Randy Newman was like more whimsical.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I think I'm right.
Is that the guy Seinfeld didn't like?
Seinfeld didn't like Randy Newman?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
In the show or just in real life?
You guys don't get that?
I get it.
Oh,
Newman.
Oh, we get it.
He's like, hello, Newman. He's like all pissed off.
Sari, what do you have for me today?
Well, first of all, it's Sari. Thank you, Matt.
What did you say?
My name is Sari.
Sari.
Yeah.
Okay, but you spell it Sari.
Yeah.
So add an H if you want me to say Sari, and I'll say it happily.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? I don't fuck around. If somebody puts their name in front of me.
Puts their name in front of you.
I'll say it how it's spelled. Jahan, like I see a guy named J-O-H-N. Jahan. J-O-H-N. Jahan. Jahan.
Okay. Sorry, but.
All right. So I'm so sorry, Sari.
Thank you. Oh, wow. I never heard that. That's really good. I haven't been crazy my entire life. You know who has my name? Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Okay.
That's my real name in Hungarian.
Oh,
is
really?
Is Zsa Zsa.
Okay.
Okay, please.
Wait, but is Zsa Zsa, is it spelled the same way as you? Or that's her real name? Is
her real name is Sari, S-A-R-I. Oh. Like mine. And so my nickname is Zsa Zsa.
Boy, what a B, huh? Zsa Zsa Gabor. What a B-I-T-C-H she was. She was nasty.
What?
Yelling at people. Remember that?
She was
yelling at the police officer.
Yeah, yelling.
Disrespectful to the law. Not a fan.
Yeah, you know people yelling at out of their car window.
Her and who was the hotel woman?
Leona
Helmsley.
Oh my god, I forgot about her.
Yeah.
Mean.
She
was the queen of mean.
But she's so nice compared to so many mean people now. Like,
right.
There's so many more mean celebrities.
Leona
Who's the
Helmsley.
Meanest? Who's the meanest celebrity? It's got to be Zsa Zsa.
Mr. T.
Mr.
Right?
T's. He's mean.
Oh, he's pitying all these fools.
Well, it's no, but it takes some kind of it takes some kind of compassion to pity someone. It's
Rocky,
like that's...
Rocky was mean, punching people.
Shabbat shalom.
Sari, did you want to talk about something?
Mean Gene was pretty mean.
Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed that you remember that. I feel like I'm an old person. Old, what do you call it? I'm a regular, but I don't know what I'm a regular for. So,
well, you had a good story. I remember you because you had a great story that we won't talk. We won't say. We won't get into the weeds of. But your life story was memorable to me.
Oh well, except for my name. Okay. What?
I'm going to walk off. No. Never done that before. I have, actually.
Yes,
not have that happen again.
How am I pit? Sweaty?
So you know what we missed was that I have the same birthday as you, or you have the same birthday as me, February 3rd.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And I tried to call in because I was going to give you advice because I was turning 60 and I was getting old. And I thought you could ask me questions about being old and I would help.
Well, let's save that for my 46th birthday coming up in February. It's almost, it's probably my half birthday. Would you think?
That's August 3rd, yep.
When is my half birthday?
August.
August.
Flawless victory.
I'm sorry. What else have I got for you? I'm so sorry.
Vic, anything for Fred? With... Got a big guest here, Fred Armisen, star of Saturday Night Live.
I'm bored.
My big thing. Hi, Fred.
Hey.
I slept with Dave.
What's that?
I slept with Nick Cave.
Oh, great.
You slept with Nick Cave? Nick Cave.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Wow.
Was this in Australia or here?
Here. Honey, wow. Shush.
Did he have did he have bad seed?
Ew. But it was my birthday. Jeez.
I've done it again.
All right. I don't want to hear anything more about this, Nick. Let's not tell tales out of school here.
Why? It was it's not the that kind only of show. Thing I've ever done that I did just so that I could talk about it. There's no reason to
yeah.
be That's except a, for to tell people.
Yeah. And you said it in a respectful way.
I thought so. We were sleeping. I don't know. What else?
Who's dog? Was there a dog?
Sex.
That's yeah. her. She's got her dog over there. Well.
Yeah. It's my dog pound.
I slept with that, the violin player in the bed. He's Warren Ellis.
Warren Ellis. Remember when Johnny Carson did that joke?
Yeah.
I slept with the violin player.
In the,
I was like, what
you hear this? You hear this? Nick Cave?
No. I was like, what a deep cut.
Bad Why? Seeds. And the bad seeds, Ed?
I slept with the...
yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah. Dark band.
Dig Lazarus, dig, they said.
Oh, my God, we've been canceled.
I slept with the violin player.
The violin player.
Is that the whole joke?
Seeds.
That's it. That's my whole joke.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson. Only thing I could think of was that you first called on me.
Warren
and I was
Ellis.
Dream about.
Okay. You'd be like, okay.
Good morning.
Do not know. Do not know the bad seeds, sir. Let love. What is it? Let love in.
Originally on their birthday party.
Carson riffing on Nick Cave. Okay. The boatman's call. The boatman's call. Huh? Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? My guest is great Nick Cave. What would Johnny make a Nick Cave? That's some.
I like him.
I like him. Great band. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. Dark stuff. Something terrible happened to your son? Is that what happened?
Oh. Ouch.
Mm. All right, Shari.
Thank you.
Where are you? You're up in the Northwest?
I'm in Wisconsin, just outside.
I was hoping to get somebody to talk about that heat wave.
Outside of where?
Outside of Red Wing, Minnesota.
Ah. Outside of Red Wing, Minnesota. I think Greg Norton has a restaurant in Red Wing.
I just saw him.
Who's Greg Norton? Is he in the bad seats?
He was in Husker Du. He's the bass player of Husker Du. And I think he opened a restaurant in
Husker
Red Wing.
Husker Du, apparently. He's coming out with a new album these days. Husker Du.
I saw Bob Mould. I saw
Greg at Target about a week ago.
You hear this, folks?
You saw him a week ago? Are you friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's great.
They're all great. He is.
It's one of my favorite bands.
I can't ever get into Husker Du.
Oh, God, I love them.
Send me a
so
list.
Much. Love Husker Du.
What do you think about Sugar?
I wouldn't believe it. Like he had the Meat Puppets play at his restaurant, and there was like no one there, no one who they were. It was just like a favor. Like, There was no one there. It was just the meat puppets and like five people who knew who they were. It was so cool. But like, wow. He's got kids now. He sort of had this like midlife, dropped everything and got this really cute little wife and has two kids. And now he works in a factory, third shift. And he says he's never been happier.
Which guy is this?
The bass player. Greg Norton.
So is he not, doesn't he have the restaurant anymore?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. His restaurant. Oh, it's a long, long story. Call me later if you want to hear it all.
Hello, food fan.
It's not the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, it's a mustache.
Hello, food fan. Oh,
okay. He's very nice. He's like.
He seems like it.
I think he's kind of dumb.
What? All right.
You just said it on TV.
That's not nice.
You just said it on TV in front of everybody. Oh,
I'm sorry.
You're in trouble.
For real, dumbass.
Shari, you're canceled.
That's okay.
You're
I never
canceled.
Got to see Greg Norton.
Yeah. Oh, for real,
restaurant
dumbass.
Red Wing.
What
was it
Shane.
Husker
Doom? I like her. Thanks, your Shari. Like gossip.
Yeah, I know Shari's gossip about the irrelevant old '80s post-punk fans.
He's very dumb.
The Nick Cave bombshell was
Nick Cave, the bad seed.
Oh, she's still going.
Wait till TMZ gets a load of this episode.
Warren Ellis.
Warren Ellis, violin player. Who else is it? You know what's funny? There's another guy named Warren Ellis who's like a cartoonist. You know about this guy?
This I don't know.
He's like a he's a British comic book writer who's now been Me Too'd. So poor Warren Ellis, the other Warren Ellis, has got to be like, not, I'm not that
Warren. I just want to play my violin.
I'm not that Warren Ellis. You know this? Warren Ellis is there's two of them now. Two Warren Ellis's. Wow. All right. what else? You Matt, do you want to show some?
You want a city of the day? What do you want?
Well, you know what I want to bring up because you mentioned, I don't think we were on the air for this. You mentioned rock critics.
Yeah.
And being befuddled by them.
Yeah, just like why write a bad review of an album?
Why write a bad? We were talking about Ram, the seminal album from Paul McCartney, was panned by critics. When it came out, just awful.
Yeah, why, like, what's the point of that?
Like, people hated it.
Yeah.
Well, not people didn't hate it, but rock critics hate it. This clip I found from the Lemon Twigs. You know the group the Lemon Twigs?
Mm-hmm.
They posted this clip of Art Garfunkel as he was asked about rock critics. Let's see what he has to say about rock critics.
What was your reaction when some critics, and the songs sold well, so it isn't as if this was an across-the-board reaction, but some critics said, on his own, Art Garfunkel is too syrupy. It's too sweet.
What's my reaction?
Yeah, what was your reaction, then or now?
Where do these writers come from? That's my reaction. If only girls wrote the reviews instead of boys, I'd be so much happier. That's my reaction. Males tend to be more literary conscious. Females tend to be more viscerally musical conscious. I think the nature of my appeal falls in that latter category. That's my reaction to those reviewers.
That's not where I expected this to go.
Furthermore, now I'll drop my defensiveness and say, I think they're onto something a little bit. Bette Midler once beat me up over the notion of you're more intelligent than the songs you sing. Why don't you get the lyric content up to where you actually are? And my answer would be, well, how many James Taylor, Randy Newman, Paul Simons are there? There's just a handful of poetic, intelligent writers.
What do people...
Oh, God, that was such a long answer.
He's simmering with rage.
Yeah. Isn't that a weird question to ask, though?
It is a weird question.
What do you say when critics say you suck?
Yeah.
What was your reaction?
What's your reaction? Right. What do you want me to say? I know, that is a weird
question. Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. It's helpful. I find it very helpful and constructive.
I don't know how to read.
Yeah, because, once he started going into the boys and girls thing, I think he was like, boy, how do I get out of this? I got to backtrack on this now. He's going to have to compose a letter to Paul Simon apologizing. Yeah. Paul, I hope this finds you well. I have some terrible news to report.
Too syrupy.
upon speaking with Bob Costas, I said some language I regret. I hope this does not affect you in a negative way. Sincerely, Art. Please call me.
Wait, wasn't he complimenting Paul Simon there as being like
he was?
Was he saying his solo stuff was?
He's like he can't be as good as Paul Simon,
right?
That's kind of interesting. You know?
Did you see that review of IHOP of International House of Pain?
No,
too syrupy. That's like a Doug. That's a Doug joke.
That's a Johnny Carson joke. You see this, folks? You see about this? A little weird.
You're reviewing.
Now they're reviewing. How about who else, Matt? Diego Ayala.
Diego. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, my God. It's so weird to be talking to you. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wow. I hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Well, you got one of three things. You got the ceiling fan, the guitar, or a record collection. And you have the guitar.
I only have a guitar and a little record collection, but it's too small.
It's got to be in frame.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Paris, actually, but I'm from Venezuela.
What the heck?
Venezolano.
You're in Paris right now?
Yeah.
Maron.
Texas?
Maron. You know that, Fred, actually, you're kind of like a minor celebrity in Venezuela because...
I'm Venezuelan. Yo soy venezolano.
Yeah, yeah.
Mi mamá es de allí.
Oh, my God.
De Carrizales.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. Yeah. That's so great.
Were you recognized at all in Italy?
No.
I was getting to that, Tim, actually.
Oh, you
because
were.
I have a weird story in Italy involving Fred.
Yeah.
Is it a respectful story? It's not going to embarrass
you? It's super respectful. It's okay. Super respectful. I went there with a friend from high school, actually, and we were both like super obsessed when we were teens with your character in Eurotrip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The mean okay. Goofy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were teenagers. And, well, like,
I think people of all ages could become obsessed with
the guy
that.
In the train?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that guy.
And we were there in Rome, and all the time we were like, mi scusi. And all of a sudden, man, it was so weird. You were right there.
What?
Like you were standing at an ATM, like doing the line to get some money. And we asked for a picture, and it was like one of the most.
You
like,
said, fuck off.
Was I friendly though? Did we take a picture?
You were super, super friendly. And then we felt bad because as soon as we asked for a picture, everybody started like coming and you had to leave. And I think that you couldn't get your money.
The paparazzi.
You got mobbed in Rome. Yeah, I was working there for a while.
Was it like Zoolander 2?
Zoolander 2, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it in theaters later, and I was like, "Oh my God, it must have."
Yeah, that was there for a while. Rome was really cool.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Me and Tim were just in Italy for a while.
Yeah, that's why I found it so weird too.
How do you like Paris?
I love it here. Yeah, it's really cool.
So, what do you do there?
I do music.
I do play in the Pixies.
I didn't play in the Pixies, but.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you do music professionally?
Looks like the guitarist.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, I do film score. I'm studying film score here in the, Paris Conservatory.
Two different things here. You're studying film score or you're doing film score?
A little bit of both, actually.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. What are you, Bernard Herrmann? It's the only film.
Are you a lefty?
I'm sadly a lefty, yeah.
I'm a lefty. There's no sadly about that.
You're a lefty? But you play...
I play traditional guitar correctly, yeah. I play as it should.
But there's some real genius lefties around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I actually regret not learning it the other way around, but...
Paul McCartney?
No, Paul McCartney does lefty.
Yeah, Paul McCartney does lefty.
Well, it's bright out in Paris. Are you sure you're there?
I can play bass.
I can show you. Maybe.
I'm actually quite good on bass.
How'd you find that?
Are you convinced? No, guys.
Fred, do you feel comfortable sharing the home you visited?
The home I visited?
Yeah. In England?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Private.
Yeah.
Mental institution. All right. Paris, France. Let's see the Eiffel Tower out your window. Come on.
You can actually see it.
No way.
I swear.
What?
See, I know. I can tell the way the light's coming in. I can tell where he is. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Wait, I can't see the Eiffel Tower.
Well, it's just a little like, I don't know. If you, like, right.
What if it's super far away? Out? I can see it back there. It's one of those things in the on the
spires.
Right? Yeah, it sticks.
Okay.
There okay.
But all right, buddy.
This is pretty chill.
I think anybody could do that. Anyone could just like put it like, hey, you see it? If, yeah, if you move it enough,
you'll find it.
Yeah.
Your eye will see it.
We were staying in Italy. We were staying 20 minutes from the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and you could look out the hotel window and see the damn tower.
Okay.
And it was just like...
It was like a famous building. It was so weird how famous it is.
It was like
is.
You just would see that on a pizza box since you were like 2 years old.
Yeah.
There it was, sticking up like an idiot.
Okay.
One of the great flubs in history. That big mistake.
Big, huge mistake.
They didn't fuck up. In it? Can you go in there?
Dude, I don't fuck around. I
yeah, you can. There were people up in there. Like,
it's just not going to fall over.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. One bonding thing Fred and I had was we discovered our mutual fear of heights on this trip. I didn't realize you suffer from the same affliction.
We both were by this bridge. And we almost went up. We're like, I'm afraid of heights. I can't go. And then Tim said exactly
this little bridge, by the way, it was this little like medieval bridge that went kind of, it was kind of high enough for boats to pass under it, but it wasn't terribly high. But the ledge of it was like
too low.
The top of it was like below your hips.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I don't like
that. Maybe at your hips. Huh? Yeah. It was like, no way am I getting up there. Our knees were shaking.
Yeah. Two guys not going up on the
two bridge. Adult men.
Too scared.
Too scared to walk over a bridge.
We jumped into each other's arms like the first friends.
What if we had to get over the other side?
That would be awful.
I would be on my hands and knees.
I seriously would.
I would get on my hands and knees and crawl like a dog.
That's the way to get across.
My teeth chattering. I'm not going that way.
Wait, so you just didn't go over the bridge at all? Or did you
did not. We stayed on one side.
Close your eyes or
closing your eyes would be worse. You just worse. Walk just right over the edge. Splash. You'd probably live if you fell off that bridge. It wasn't that high.
Yeah. You just break a bone or something.
I'll send you Matt, I'm gonna send you a picture of the bridge so that you could look at it privately.
Thank you, Tim.
And that will be the rest of our show as I look for the picture. So if you guys want to talk on your own, oh, here it is. I'll show you this bridge.
Is it the one I took?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Send it to the right people. Come on. Why can't you just... There it is. All right. Show that bridge, Matt.
What'd you send? Let's see.
Are you ready?
Photo by me, right?
Yeah. But I think you have to really show. You got to do a zoom in on that.
Yeah. Look at that.
Can you zoom into the people up on top of that bridge, Matt? Okay. See?
Oh, that is kind of scary.
Yeah. You see?
Oh, yeah.
There's a scariness to it.
Great hat, though. Okay. How about we talk to somebody else?
Talk to Bricks.
I feel like I have an opportunity now, which is rare on office hours, is to say, how was your weekend? How was your weekend?
That's always such a dead question, isn't it? Like, right away, like, what do I have to recount my weekend?
Well, did you do anything special?
How's your time off?
You unpacked. Where did you fly? How did you fly back? Did you fly through Frankfurt or?
No, through Paris.
Through Paris.
Yeah, where our friend just was.
Yeah. And did you fly back with Trisha?
Yeah.
How was that?
Great.
She's lovely.
She's so cool.
We got one of the people in this movie, Trisha Helfer.
Yeah.
Who was on one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. She was the blonde, like, and what are they called?
Cylons.
Yeah. Fuck. She was evil. But not really.
But she kind of would like appear, disappear. It was like,
yeah, she's like in the imagination.
Is she in his imagination? Yeah. But she was really cool.
And Fred and I were like nerds at Comic-Con with her.
Totally.
Talking about her.
So like you were like.
Yeah, in episode 19. Yeah. But she was very nice.
Yeah.
My daughter was amazed that you were hanging with Debbie Ryan. She,
Really?
She would have been, yeah. She was like, what? And I showed her pictures.
That's the Cylons from the original.
Yeah.
Although I want to send you guys this. Speaking of funny clips, I love that show. I think I said this, sent this to you, Fred. The like clip of Adama from Battlestar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here, I'm going to send this to Matt. This show got so dark and heavy.
It really did. It got emotional.
But it's, yeah, it's very, it's a very emo show if you haven't seen it. Matt, sending this to you. We could watch that later. But yeah, Dama used to cry all the time. Edward James Olmos used to break down in tears because things were bad on that ship. You didn't know if you were going to, the entire human race was going to get wiped out. Right?
That must have been a stressful ship to be on. Everything was danger.
Yeah.
They're like, can't we just drive the ship across space and just enjoy it?
You don't understand. If we don't do this now this way, it's it for everyone. But I think we should do it that way. Yeah. What about this way?
Who's that? That's a Cylon. No, I didn't know that.
I didn't. How am I supposed to know? We got to get off this ship. We have to find a planet to live on. Imagine trying to find a planet to live on.
That sucks.
Nightmare. I would have checked out so quick. I would have been suicide pill right away.
I would have been like, can we have one day of
without red alerts? Because they would always get attacked.
Yeah.
This is the thing on that show. Sorry to spoil it. They would be like, they'd jump, which meant like they would all, as a fleet, they'd all go and disappear and show up like, and they'd be running from the Cylons. Yeah. And then so they'd get to this new place and they'd be like, all right, let's check, see if there's any Cylons. All right, let's start looking for a new planet. And then they're like, we've detected Cylon Raiders. They're coming in. All right, we have to jump now. We have to jump now. They're jumping. So stressful. And so, Matt, play this clip. Can you play it?
Yeah.
This is pretty deep into the show, but... Watch this, guys.
Jesus.
Is that Dick Cheney I saw there?
Wow. Dick Cheney wasn't on the show, Doug.
This looks like I'm my age.
Got that.
Yeah,
I know.
There he is.
It's not Dick Cheney.
It's not.
I want to do this scene shot for shot. No!
Oh my God.
No, don't drink. Ah! Don't drink.
It's the last thing. When you're that mad, that's the last thing
don't,
you should do.
Yeah.
And then on the ground, drink so bad that you have to be carried around
by some guy.
It's his son.
And you're saying the show is good?
Yeah.
That was a heavy work day.
No one.
What he did on New Caprica?
I think he was directing too. Edward James Olmos.
What happened to his?
All right, cut.
All right.
Have you guys ever had to carry someone or drag someone? I've never had to do that.
No,
I don't think I've ever done that.
Hey, Kay Loggins. Can we talk to Kay Loggins, daughter of Kenny Loggins? Kay. Okay, Loggins.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Good. Where are you calling
from? Hello.
New York City, baby.
Hey-o. New York is back. Right, it is, Fred?
New York is back.
It so is excited. Chaos.
We're opening
here
up
right now.
Broadway's back.
Why is it chaos?
Just outside, the people, the places, inside, outside, everyone's, there's a wild energy. Everyone is in town from LA and just,
what do you mean everyone's in
about
town
their
from
leases
LA?
And talking about the energy here, so.
Is everybody wearing masks?
Half and half, I'd say.
Just to get this out there, please tell everyone in New York, 6 feet apart, please.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I keep seeing on the news that they're not 6 feet apart because they show people in the street. I'm like, 6 feet apart.
You know what
I
do?
We're begging you.
I have...
people are in bars, like, packed right now in New York.
I have these two... I have actually two, four, six, eight... yardsticks.
That's the way to go.
On each side of me, I have two yardsticks. That's 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I connect them here, and they're out off my front and back.
Yeah. It's a buffer.
Yeah.
In the hospitals, as people came in with COVID, they're just like, how close are we to someone else? And they, when they admit it was 3 feet or 2 feet,
Yeah, out.
Out.
No, they don't fuck around.
Of the hospital.
They don't fuck around. Kay, how are you today?
I'm good. Last time I was on, I was mortified because I feel like I made Doug sad with the whole Kiss from a Rose drama with Vera that we both made the cover, but we connected after the show and we exchanged the different versions, and I guess they're both in the film. So it was a good, moment.
Great.
Everything worked out.
Anyway, so I have either like a funny music related, like video clip recommendation thing you can look up, or I have like an activity game kind of thing.
Let's do an activity game, like coloring.
Okay.
Give us
so
something
I was thinking about my favorite. I was thinking about my favorite, one of my favorite bits you've done on the show, which is Roger Daltrey going to the bank to get his bank account set up. And, you know, I know you were singing like, you know.
Oh, right. I
my
got
account
it.
Number 54673. Yeah. And
I walked into the local bank.
Yeah.
He always talks like that.
Yeah. So, and he woke up in a doorway, right?
Yeah.
So sign up for a checking account. My number was 99993.
So I really think there's some potential there. And I know you have like a healthy competition with the network late night shows. And, you know, Fallon has that, you know, musical impressions. But I just think, you know, front men, you know, just doing running errands, you know, you can just pick, spin the wheel and pick, you know, like Dave Matthews, it goes to Subway. Hello, can I get an MG's, please? With a red onion, maybe a pickle on there for
me. I won't lettuce on tomato.
All right.
Yeah. That's true. So you can just think of those all day and go on, you know. And I think that's some comedy gold, you know.
Well, why don't you give us some combos? You know.
Try. You could do. Geddy Lee's at the parent teacher conference.
Can I chip in?
Is that Geddy Lee?
I can't really do Geddy Lee.
What does he sound like? I don't know Geddy Lee.
Begin the day with.
He's like up high, but not falsetto.
My is it like, kid is at the school.
Is it like Rush? Is he got like in that range?
Yeah,
that's Rush.
Oh, Geddy Lee. I'm.
Yeah.
Fuck.
What other Geddies are there?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm thinking
what,
of,
what do they talk about in Paris?
I was thinking, you know what happened in my head when she said Geddy Lee? I thought she was talking about Lemmy first. And my mind just went to Lemmy.
Jesus, man.
He's like that. All right, so you want Geddy Lee at a parent-teacher's conference?
Yes.
My children are looking for answers.
That's it. You nailed it.
It's not high enough.
That's about right, actually.
What about...
This is David Byrne at Target. I'd like some towels. Different shapes.
Different shapes
and
towels?
Different colors.
I want...
He also does that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like,
I want some towels. Towels. I want some towels.
Wait.
How about Joe Walsh went to the tailor and he dropped his stuff off at the tailor and he comes to pick it up and there's like a problem with one of the hems, like it's sort of quite specification.
What is Joe Walsh like?
I think I'm talking. I want my tailor to do the right thing.
No. Is that my Maserati?
Yeah, that's the guy.
My Maserati.
We're not gonna give him that. No. We're not going. We don't go back.
But it gets you into it.
Yeah, it's good. Here's my challenge.
My Armani.
You got him. But we can't just do like Weird Al. We're not Weird Al.
Is hemmed a little short.
Yeah, but
well, why can't we do Weird Al?
Here's my challenge. Two words that Elvis Costello would sing together. Like, what would be two words that he would sing together? Like mine would be
critical infection. Yeah. A critical infection.
Right, Vic?
Oh, God. I'm not good on the spot.
Temporary.
Like you can just do one word.
How about dictionary sewer?
Dictionary sewer. Complicated physics.
plasticine. It was always saying,
do you want it? Sometimes he goes in, do you want it? Ask.
like real jumps in range.
Do you want to go?
Or like,
do the round of net.
That would be one.
In the Bible, you want Deuteronomy.
That's so
Deuteronomy.
Good. That's a good.
So good. In the Bible, Joseph in the Bible, Deuteronomy.
So good. What was I listening to? American Girl last on the radio yesterday from Tom Petty, and he
He's almost got like a Bob Dylan.
Yeah, but he was like, he said balcony. He did balcony. Anyways,
one more.
Go ahead. You got one more for us?
Oh, I mean Tom Petty.
Hello. Are you watching our show? Or are you on? Are you watching another show too? Because we were just doing Tom Petty.
Yes.
Tom Petty's buying a used car.
Wait, how about Bob Dylan doing a used car?
Bob Dylan's buying a used car in Craigslist, and it's like a, you meet him up in person kind of thing.
Hey.
it's hacky.
Yeah.
Hacky is good, though. Yeah, I was buying a car. See,
you have
me.
To think late night. This, you got to be in the late night mindset.
You got a Chevy.
Yeah.
You got a Chevy.
We're
Hello,
trying to reach
my
an
name
audience.
Is Bob. I'm here for the Chevy.
Because they're meeting like in a...
People are
Public
clicking away
area?
From the show in droves, canceling their subscriptions.
Well, should we get serious for a moment with EJ and talk about July 4th?
Okay.
Our scheduled guest, thank you, Kay.
Hi.
Thank you.
EJ. Every guest begins with K.
Pastabilities.
EJ
That's
is
good.
From
that Pastabilities. I've been eating at Olive Garden. Having some pasta made. We're having some pasta made.
That would be good.
Come on. You get the pecorino cheese.
No.
You think Costello and Newman, Randy Newman, are kind of similar with their vocals?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that same. That's a reason like a lot of people don't like them.
It's the reason I don't like neither of them.
Hey.
You know what?
Hey.
Oh, no. With all due respect.
But you know what I can't do, that Costello thing I can't do, is his vibrato. He does that.
Yeah.
Like...
Penny Lane is in my heart, in my...
He does like a real...
The whole classical phase.
Yeah. All right, who's my guest?
EJ from Non-Compete. I wrote you some questions in the doc.
Oh, don't... Matt, how dare you? What are you, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain? Hello, EJ. Are you there?
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Uh-oh. I don't like anybody that has that tone.
Oh, my God.
Hello!
I was trying to do the wavery thing, but I just woke up, so I apologize. It's very, very nice to talk to you.
I had this guy when we were a long time ago. Doug, you probably remember who this guy is. I don't want to say his name. I don't think I know his name, but he was an intern, and he was the kind of guy that you'd see him in the bathroom, and he'd go, "Hello."
Oh boy.
Comedy guy. Hello, sir. Like, what is that?
Kreisel was telling me about a guy who used to do this to him.
I do throw the thumbs up sometimes.
I don't fuck around.
I don't know. I might be that person. I'm sorry. I
don't fuck around.
Wait, hello. That's like a Family Guy style.
Hello.
Talking, right?
Yeah, it is that. It is
hello.
That. Stewie.
Stewie. I remember the time we were on.
Okay, EJ from Non-Compete.
Yes, sir.
You have a YouTube channel that covers, Fred, listen to this. Intersectionalism, liberation, anarchism, and communism.
Oh, wow.
This guy's the
Fun
real
stuff.
Deal.
That's serious.
We also do like puppet July shows, and we can. I am that comedy. I am that try hard comedy guy, I guess. But yeah, it's a. We talk about a lot of the stuff that you talk about on your show. I actually consider you to be sort of anarchistic with office hours. It's one of the reasons I love it. You know, you bring on.
He said love.
You bring the. Audience into the mix. You try to break down those hierarchies, break down those barriers, and you try to stick it to the man. So I feel like we're kind of doing the same work in different ways. But yeah,
so let me set this up for you, because
sure,
I went to the Dodgers baseball game yesterday, and I stood and removed my hat and sang the national anthem. Am I a bad guy? I like doing that kind of stuff.
It feels good, right? It feels great.
I know it's pointless and silly, but can you hold those two things at the same time?
I cannot anymore. Mm. And I'll tell you why. The last time I was in the USA, I went to Philadelphia for the first time, and I used to be a huge patriot growing up. I was really big into the USA all the way.
Wait a second.
I was in high school during September 11th.
Sorry.
I live in Vietnam now. I've been here for about 10 years.
He's a traitor.
The phone lines are open to patriots.
You sound like my dad. I stood in the...
Vietnam is so hip. It's a very hip. When people want to talk about traveling, like, you know, when they mention someplace cool, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Actually, Vietnam's pretty cool.
It's extra cool now because people haven't really been dying of COVID at all. We've only had 76 deaths out of 97 million people here because they're actually taking it seriously. It's been a great place to be through the pandemic. I haven't actually been in the USA since before the pandemic. But they're doing a great job here putting, you know, human lives before profits. That's one of the things we talk about on the show a lot. But we're under lockdown right now because they take things so seriously. There hasn't actually been a case for like a couple of weeks here in Da Nang, but still everyone's wearing masks, social distancing. It's like everyone's taking it very seriously. But for like most of this pandemic, I haven't had to wear a mask. I've been able to go to restaurants, and it's because they've really just completely contained it. So it's a totally different strategy than the USA, where they were just like waiting to make a vaccine. So,
Okay, so let's talk about July 4th and what a scam it is, what a fraudulent holiday is, and what your issues
It's falsely advertised, I would say. Like I said, when I was in Philadelphia for the first time, I stood in the spot where Benjamin Franklin, his slave house was. And I remember sitting there and just thinking like, okay, this is where... And it was like really close to like a little like display about how great Benjamin Franklin was. And I remember back to like in school when you're growing up and you're learning about this stuff, and there's so much cognitive dissonance when you're learning it as like a child, because they'd be like, oh yeah, all these founding fathers, they either owned slaves or they were willing to compromise with people who owned, you know, other human beings. And then when we talked about Ben Franklin, they would always present it like, oh, Ben Franklin, he was so like progressive, and he let his slaves go free in 1781. That was like such a cool thing to do. And it's like, that's kind of the bare minimum, lowest bar I could think of for like a human being to not, you know,
right.
I mean, it's like freeing your slaves is not something to really be.
And there was no question at the time that slavery was a terrible thing. It wasn't, you didn't have to be some kind of highly educated, saint to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it had been.
Where were you on slavery?
You know,
where are you on slavery? Anti?
Are you for it? You against it?
But the funny thing is, the slavery, the justification arguments they used were tied in with Marxism too, because like they were very aware of the risk of like the work, you know, class consciousness picking up and people having a revolution, and so they had this mudsill theory. I don't want to get too in the weeds of it, but. The idea is basically that they needed to have slaves in the South because, according to them, every society had to have like this mudsill, this lower level of people. And they just thought it was like better to have slaves than in the North, where they had workers who would like eventually have a communist revolution. So like, they were very aware of like class dynamics and all that stuff. But they don't really tell that story. You know, basically we have this narrative we tell. That's kind of the main point of what I wanted to talk about today, was like we have this narrative about the 4th of July. And it doesn't line, and the USA, you know, in general, the whole story of the USA, it's just a story, you know, but it doesn't line up with what actually happened and the reality at all. So that's why I kind of gave up my personal patriotism for the USA. But I could definitely understand why people get into it, because it feels really good. It gives you that kind of,
because like,
you
know, in the USA, we've
kind of.
National anthem. Song.
Tough. It's a tough song. It's gotta you gotta have some range for that one.
What for the national anthem?
Yeah.
I like it on its own.
Yeah.
I know.
Aside from relation to, you know, patriotism, like as a song.
Yeah. It's on a few playlists.
Yeah. Just put it on. I like the melody.
What were you gonna say?
Just with fireworks in general, like people, please be safe with fireworks.
Thank you.
Please. I'm asking you. I'm telling you. It's the law.
I don't even fucking play with them. I don't even put them up my ass or anything like that. Like, I just like
I
literally
it.
Watch
yeah,
them.
I hate that.
You know what I mean?
Also, there's like, there's a time and a place for them. So if you want to go to see them in Disneyland,
professionally
whatever,
done, yeah.
But otherwise, don't do it yourself.
No,
no. You always have that one cousin that wants to like shoot the Roman candles at you.
Yeah,
you know, it's never fun. I don't recommend it.
Mm-mm. So yes, there's obviously. I mean, this is an enlightened audience, I think, most likely.
Most people
have read the Howard Zinn History of the United States, right? That's a good place to start, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't want to be preaching to the choir, you know. But the main point I would say is just I just encourage other people to kind of really go back and think about when you were in school growing up and the things that were like taught, because in the USA we are. I feel like I dropped the tone of the show, and I apologize for that. But in the USA,
it's a dynamic show.
It is. That's what I love about.
Sorry, you interrupted the very important task of us trying to sound like other singers.
it's
really important.
It's got
work.
Its place. But we're indoctrinated. You know, in the USA, we like to think we're not, and we like to think that our politics are like common sense, and that we don't have ideology in the USA anymore. We're in this like Tony Blair post ideology world, but we are heavily indoctrinated. So I guess, you know, one of the things about anarchism is going back and questioning all the hierarchies that exist in our society. It's actually the main thing about, you know, anarchism. And just going back and looking at like, okay, so what were we taught growing up? Why were we taught those things? Like, is it serving somebody's agenda? It's just kind of like basic media literacy, just kind of like dissecting and interrogating your own relationship with the state, you know, with the United States of America.
Let's. I have one. I have one question. One quick thing to think about. I want us all to think about this, and then another more specific question. But you have 1776, right? We all know 1776.
Mm-hmm. Great
musical. Signing of the Declaration of Independence. Revolutionary War is like, basically, we're in the middle of the revolution. That it doesn't really. Revolutionary War starts like 1775, right? It's more or less. More or less.
Something like that.
Something in there.
And then when does it wrap up? Like a couple years after 1776? It's not super long.
I thought it was a while.
I think it was in the 1780s. They did the Constitution Convention in like 1780s.
This is my question though. Okay, you got from 1776 to 87 is when the Constitution signed.
Like that's what they should celebrate is that day.
Well, they probably do, but that.
Well, that's
8 years of like what was going on during those 8 years. That's a long time.
Do you think there were people back then who their whole lives wasn't the Revolutionary War? They were trying to have a life, and they were like,
"Of course,
we're not all about this war.
Yeah, things are fine.
I have a family. I'm trying to work out.
Of course,
I'm trying to change how my house is and my farm, and like I can't get involved with politics.
Yeah,
I guess
don't
there's a Revolutionary War.
Who's in charge?
Well,
who do I pay my taxes to? I don't care. Tell me who I should pay my taxes to.
Great. Congratulations. All right. Great. You guys won?
What am I now? Am I American? Okay, good.
Great.
Good. Where's my money?
There were the several million, you know, enslaved people too. I always wonder what they had to say about that whole. Frederick Douglass had a great quote about basically how like it was specifically about the 4th of July. And he basically said, like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, you're bringing us in chains into this great palace of democracy. And it's just like this really cruel expectation that we're supposed to, like, you know, as black people who are, but yeah, I mean, that's the whole narrative. I mean, if you talk about the Constitution, I mean, that was just a bunch of landowning, basically oligarchic aristocrats. And they wanted to create a world where only white landowning male. I mean, I'm not saying anything. I guess probably most people don't know, but
Fred,
I mean, just really interrogating that narrative, I think, is important.
All those people
for
who
people to do,
that
especially
Constitution. I don't know what they look like, so I can't.
You can't
visualize
them.
No, I don't know what race they were. I don't know what nationality.
Oh, they were. You didn't know what race the founding fathers were?
No, I look at names. I just look at names.
Fred's colorblind.
Yeah. Just names.
There were a few Asians in that group, right? Asian Americans?
More than a few.
Benjamin Franklin doesn't sound very smart, by the way. He's flying a kite in the storm. Putting a key on there.
Grade A dummy. Grade A dummy. Also,
he wouldn't have been very careful with fireworks either.
No.
Right.
Also, he's just trying to come up with sayings all day. Can you imagine?
Dude should have just worked
for
Hallmark.
He's like, write this down. An apple a day.
He should have just written for Hallmark or something. A card greeting card guy.
Benjamin.
But the Iroquois also had like John Rutledge, who was from South Carolina and very big on slavery, by the way. would just sit in the Constitutional Convention and read like long screeds of Iroquois ideological information because they had this really advanced democracy in the Iroquois Confederacy. And this is the kind of stuff like we don't learn. I didn't learn about this stuff in school, you know.
Interesting.
But the Iroquois had this really egalitarian society.
So you're saying some of the framework, the concepts of the government, of the Constitution, come from Iroquois structures.
A ton of it does, yeah. And this guy, the eagle, like a lot of the symbols they used came from the Iroquois and from other indigenous American groups as well.
That was like, we don't have any connection to Native American culture or something a couple months ago. Who was that guy? Not Tom Cotton, Paul Walker. No, not Paul Walker. Scott Walker.
Oh, from
Wisconsin. He was saying how like we don't have, like there was no culture here when the white man arrived. There's no culture here. We brought it with us.
They have to, that's part of the ideology. They have to make you believe that because otherwise it's just too dark. Like we literally committed like mass genocide and continue to do so to this day. I mean, like with COVID, you know, going back to COVID, indigenous Americans are dying at twice the rate as white Americans, you know, and it's like, there's just this, like all these things are kind of connected and linked together. And then we have Charlie Kirk, the great Charlie Kirk was saying that like, we don't need Juneteenth because we have July 4th and that's for everybody, mm-hmm. you know? And that's again, the ideology that we don't think we have, you know, it to me, like, cause I, you know, here in Vietnam, everybody's talking about, you know, everybody likes to talk about how in communist socialist countries, everyone's brainwashed. But I mean, I think there's the worst kind of brainwashing is when you don't even realize you've been brainwashed. Like that to me is a sign of deep indoctrination. Yeah. And I didn't realize that I was indoctrinated until I was in my 30s, you know? So,
let me ask you one more question here.
Sure.
You talk, you have a series about anarchy and how it would actually work. First of all, how can people watch that? Because it sounds like a complicated thing to go through. But like,
well, I used Legos, so it should be pretty simple for anyone to understand it. You know, we have lots of visuals. I mean, basically, it's really just, it's not actually that complicated at all. I mean, anarchism at the core of it is just a skepticism of hierarchy. That's it. So it's just like, for us, hierarchies have to kind of prove themselves to be justifiable. And if the society doesn't find them just justifiable, then we should dismantle them. That's the core idea of anarchism. Now, within that, there are lots of different strains. I mean, Black anarchism exists, Indigenous anarchism exists. They have their own unique kind of foundations and principles. But that's the basic like principle that unites it all together, is that people shouldn't be able to coerce other people into doing things against their will.
Who are some famous anarchists? Because I like in my mind, like I picture people in Black Bloc or like scary people like come to mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so if you go back, there was Kropotkin was probably one of probably the first anarcho-communist that really made the school of anarchism that I follow. And there's Rudolf Rocker, who was an anarcho-syndicalist. But then most of the anarchists that really mattered, you'll never have heard about because they were like militant union organizers back in the 1900s who were like, you know, getting murdered by the police and, you know, people who were fighting. The reason you have an 8-hour workday, or we used to have an 8-hour workday, that's kind of going away now. But the reason we had an 8-hour workday was because of anarchists and socialists who were, you know, fighting and literally dying for that right. You know, most of the anarchists in the world who have really made impact are people you had never heard of because they were just part of the group, part of the collective that was, you know, fighting for rights that we kind of take for granted today and don't realize we had to work really hard and fight really hard for those things as a class.
I got to say one thing about Vietnam. They got a nice internet connection there. This guy's coming in clean.
He's pretty good. Strong.
Yeah.
Really
seven
strong,
bucks
yeah.
a month.
Say what now?
$7 a month for the high, the top class.
Check, please. That sounds.
Plane ticket, please.
Pretty good.
Well, listen, EJ, I appreciate you coming on the show. Where can people find your channel? What's the name of your channel?
My channel is Non-Compete, and I'll also pitch my wife. She's Vietnamese, and her channel is Luna Oi, L-U-N-A-O-I. She has a show about Vietnam that you'll really appreciate if you want to learn more about a different culture from their internal perspective. So,
I'd take a trip over there, and you can show me around.
That'd be awesome. I can show you some cool stuff.
All right.
I'll go with you.
How do you say I'm having a pretty good day in Vietnamese?
Doi. Dat vui?
So how is
that
it
just
again?
Really means I'm happy. I'm very well. It actually just means I'm really happy. Doi zat vui.
Doi zat doi.
Doi zat vui.
Doi zat.
You gotta go up. Zat.
Doi zat.
Very musical. Doi zat vui.
Doi zat dui.
All right.
I'll give you lessons. Just Drop me an email.
Good. You remember that? Do you think you'll remember that at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Tim, we go there.
Oh, you will. I remember
Thank
saying,
"Do it, do it."
Yeah. No, I'll probably forget.
I will too.
If we go there, Tim, I'll buy you a sandwich. It's on me.
Why you?
It's on me.
Life's one big joke, huh? What is the sound?
The Blue Angels going.
I like how he didn't do City of the Day.
I know, to skip.
Oh, crap. You know, I need to do it because we have a big sponsor this week. You like that you didn't? Why don't you just chime in and put
I mean,
me on the
I'm
right
letting
path.
It ride. Oh, that's
City of the Day is brought to you by Uncle Phil. Are you finding it harder and harder these days to find a job? I'm trying to get through it. You got to watch the whole goddamn intro here. Are you finding it harder and harder these days to find a truly viral up-and-comer to follow on Twitter? Well, the search is over. Fast approaching 9,000 followers, Phil Braun has risen through the ranks with the speed and altitude of an eagle. Eh? Jump on board for Phil's trademark wit and wisdom and follow the man we know and love as Uncle Phil. The 10,000th follower will receive premiere passes to Phil's up-and-coming original movie, Mule Mule, the story of a recently divorced down-and-out mule who meets... What? Recently divorced down-and-out mule who meets Santa Claus and learns the true meaning of Christmas. Ugh. Mule Mule hits theaters this... What the hell is Mule Mule?
Oh, he's... I see
he's promoting
on
a
mule
movie.
There, so
don't
he's got a
miss
movie.
Yule Mule and follow Phil Braun today at play a Z ball on Twitter. That's Phil Braun. He paid us. Should we say how much he paid us?
Yeah.
$5,000.
Really? No.
No. The city of the day, Honolulu, Hawaii. That's where Fred's from.
That's right.
Weather is mostly sunny. You still have a place there?
Well, my family does. Mm-hmm. But we used to just go up and down Main Street right there. And
Main Street.
Main Street. Got a Baskin Robbins right. And, you know.
It's changed.
Ice cream. It's changed so much. There's a Starbucks in every corner.
Right.
But when I was a kid, it was.
Sushi.
Sushi. Well, we had sushi back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You just, like grew up like right in Waikiki.
Right in Waikiki.
Awesome.
But we had rock bands and stuff, all that stuff.
What was that?
Hermeto Pasco, how do you say his last name?
Oh, I got some of that guy.
The plane to plane?
No, the guy that like waxed his belly and like you remember the big old guy?
He played with Miles Davis, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like a jazz cat.
Hermeto Pascal.
That's it, Hermeto Pascal.
Fred, do you believe in the communicating with the afterlife, communicating with the dead and all that business?
Yeah, but like one way, like just talking to them.
You're not expecting any return.
No, I don't want like all the messages. I want to talk to them and just lecture them.
Imagine going to heaven and seeing all your grandparents
oh
and stuff.
God.
And being like, oh no.
Oh,
this is real. This is real.
Hi.
Oh, Timmy. Shimmy.
Oh. Hey. Oh, God. Oh.
They're like, we've been watching you masturbating for your entire life.
No.
God, oh, yes. So many
this
family
is great.
Members.
You're gonna be, we're going to be together for eternity.
Remember us?
Ever.
Like, barely remember
and
you.
Ever.
Old school people who died.
My old,
like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. We were so freaked out.
This is your Aunt Arlene. This is your mom's great Aunt Arlene.
Hi.
She's here.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, good to see you all.
Can I put my bags down? I just want to rest. There's so many people. Hi. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's
Holy
been like,
shit.
Because I remember you when I was a kid, but.
But I grew up to be an adult.
This is Aunt Eleanor.
Hi.
Hi, Aunt Eleanor.
I'm exhausted. Oh. Hey. So,
how long have you been up here for? Oh,
we'll see you tomorrow. I guess so.
check in.
You want to watch your nieces and nephews live their lives and from heaven?
Yeah. Sure, I guess.
You want to float? You could float around and hover over people.
They're doing real good down there. Wow. It's a yacht.
Oh, look,
a yacht race.
Oh, look, it's our Barney the cat. Remember Barney the cat? Oh, yeah, I was allergic.
God. Oh, how exhausting. All that fake smiles.
Hey.
Hi. Holy shit. Yeah.
Look at you.
Well, you get apparently. To see all of them, like thousands of great grandparents, like
wait,
you
oh my
know,
god,
like
you
deep
mean like
ancestors?
You mean like ones I don't know? Oh my yeah. god, yeah. He's from the 1700s, yeah.
And this is Rufus.
Hi.
He was your great 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 grandfather.
Hello, hello. I hope you like what I did down there. I hope you liked it.
I've been watching you.
I lived in L.A., Los yeah. Angeles.
It was on a comedy big comedy show,
huge city.
Yeah.
Does he speak English? Oh, he doesn't speak English.
John Belushi.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for prime
a theater.
Time. Yeah.
It's like a theater, but.
Hold on. Phil Braun is here, who paid for to be advertised. Do you want to talk to him real quick, Matt?
Phil?
Sure.
Phil, what is. First of all.
Maybe you can explain that.
Phil, what is this Yule Mule business you've been going on about now?
It's a new movie that I'm currently starting production right now. I've got the green screen up here behind me. We're very excited about this. Going to be the hit movie of the Christmas season.
All right. Well, that's presumptuous.
Yule Mule.
And what is it? The mule is, we're talking about a mule, an animal, not like a person that's carting drugs through the border or something like that.
Yeah, regular mule.
Well, why you describe this mule as divorced? What's a divorced animal? What's that about?
He it's kind of drawn some parallels to my own life, but he's kind of down and out. He's not really, he got divorced. He's seen a psychiatrist and he's just kind of out wandering around and he actually,
so the mule was married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's part of the story. Meets up with Santa Claus, joins Santa Claus's team. There's a lot of things that kind of happen during the movie. We got John Travolta starring as Santa.
Great.
We're very excited about that.
I bet. He's a big star.
Yeah, he's the only human actor we've got. The rest are going to be animals, a lot of animals in the movie.
Oh, so it's not a cartoon. It's like you guys are actually using real animals.
Correct. John's the only human, only speaking voice, actually. We're not doing any kind of CGI. We're not doing voiceovers. I'm real excited about this.
So wait, how do we get to know the mule character if it's just a mule without any kind of voiceover or anything like that?
Oh yeah.
That's
how do we know the mule that was married?
Yeah.
It's like a Mr. Red kind of thing.
I mean, John's such a good actor, he's going to be able to convey what the mule is communicating to him back to the audience. So there could be certain lines where John's kind of repeating back to the audience what the mule might be, he's interpreting the mule saying to him.
Wow, like, that sounds rough.
He'll know that the mule told him that. And then there's also kind of another subplot where there's kind of a big, Santa Claus and the mule consider some of the farmers' subsidies. They're stealing money from the government, and the mule becomes a spy.
He becomes a spy? The mule?
Yeah.
The government is just like, we're hiring this mule for a spy.
But none of this would be conveyed through any kind of voiceover or it's all.
It sounds.
It seems to be cracking up Phil. It seems to be funny to Phil.
I'm excited about the movie. I mean, I can't wait till it comes out. And
you have to make it first, right?
What?
You have to make it. You have to make sure it looks good and the sound is good. And
it's going to look good. I got the green screen. So
I know.
But never underestimate the quality of sound. Make sure the sound quality
but
is
also,
good.
But also, green screen doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. Green screen isn't a. It's going to be great.
It's not a recipe for success.
We don't want to be discouraging. We're just saying to really make sure it all goes well.
Do you have a mule? Do you have like the animal?
Not yet.
Okay. You don't have the star of the movie.
Well, I mean, mules are kind of a dime a dozen, though, right?
No. I can't remember the last time I saw a mule.
Yeah, I don't think about them as a dime a dozen. I mean, goldfish maybe, but
right, goldfish, cats, yeah. But a mule, you're gonna have to like go to where the mule is. Mules aren't very mobile.
When does John start shooting?
Most mules are between 1,000 and 3,000.
When does John Travolta start shooting?
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow, a mule. I want to buy a mule.
He's actually done some takes already. And he's sent them over, emailed them. Yeah, he's doing this. It's his version of Santa Claus is going to blow your mind. He's already doing a couple of different accents. He started out doing kind of like a Russian accent. And then some of the other shots he sent to me, he's already kind of converted over to a Brooklyn accent, which is...
But then is it going to track? Is it going to track?
What's
as you watch it, are you going to go like...
What's motivating that change in accent? Is he just giving you options?
Well, my guess is just because Santa's kind of a man of the world. He's an international character. Sure. He knows all the different languages and accents, and that maybe that's what John was deciding to do.
I mean,
to convey that he knows a lot of different things, a lot of different.
So you're hoping for this to come out this year for Christmas?
Yeah, it'll be out this year, 2021.
Okay, so it's July. It's almost July now. When do you wrap shooting?
Maybe next week.
Oh,
you're moving along.
Well, you haven't gotten the mule yet.
Well, again, I mean, I get the mule. The mule will show up here on the green screen. We'll take a couple.
All right.
This is also the only shot. So it's going to be.
That's the only shot in the film.
Then it's going to be the mule. Back to John. Back to the mule.
Oh God!
I don't even need them together to shoot this movie.
That sounds great. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I'm being sarcastic. It sounds like.
Why?
No, I like your attitude, though. You seem optimistic, and I that's what I'm banking on, is your optimism.
And you're so tickled by the whole thing.
I know. So, you don't seem stressed. If I was making a movie that's coming out on Christmas, I'd be so stressed.
It should be in the – I mean, frankly, it should be in the can by now. Like, it should be fully finished.
Absolutely.
And then you now can start promoting
marketing.
It.
Yeah, marketing happened. Right. I'd be stressed as hell.
Brad, do you
have any production companies that could help with the distribution for this?
Not distributors.
No. I mean, production companies wouldn't have anything to do with the distribution. It would be just about making it, and then you'd have a distribution company that would put it up.
But the concept of Tim brought up a drug mule before. That must be a horrible job.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's terrible.
Probably pretty bad. I may incorporate that my mule did in fact carry drugs at some point. Oh.
I erroneously muled, I had a little vape pen of marijuana in my backpack. I didn't realize it. I brought that right into Italy.
You did?
Absolutely. I had no idea. It's in my bag.
So you're a drug mule.
I'm an inadvertent. Did I say inadvertent?
Yeah. I bet you in that trade, it's all crooked people, right? Like whoever pays you and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're totally like, these are bad guys. I mean,
well, you know what's good to do to those people? Threaten them. Give me my money. Oh, you're dead. Or I'm telling the police.
Oh, turn the tables on them.
You idiot.
Here's what I would do. I'd become a mule and then blackmail them.
Yeah.
Oh, you want the drugs all of a sudden now? Well, it's going to cost you twice the amount we talked about.
You piece of shit. Now I'm at this motel. Good luck trying to find me.
This is going to go one of two ways. Either you pay me twice the amount we agreed on, or I'm calling the cops.
How do you like that?
Best way to do a mule is put it in the baby. You know what I mean?
I'm writing all this down.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Good luck to you.
And so did the ad go well? $50?
No.
How much he paid? Tim, you said we're getting the decimal points
a little bit. Tim said it was $5,000.
Yeah, $5,000.
We talked about
$5,000. We talked about $5,000.
Very clear.
Yeah.
Why? When I got on the Venmo, I put in $5,000. That's $50.00.
No. That's $5,000.
That's all you get, Tim.
All right, Phil. That's good luck to you.
All right, that's going to hurt my budget.
I'm sure it will. How much were you expecting to spend on the mule?
The mule itself?
Yeah.
I figured they're just giving them out.
No.
Doug, what was your price on the mule you found?
Typically between $1,000 and $3,000.
About $3,000.
What, an older mule? Even the older ones? They can't carry the sugar cane. The sugar
they're
cane
stubborn.
They'll probably grab one on the way to the glue factory.
Yeah, good luck negotiating with that mule, man. They're stubborn.
They're stubborn as hell.
They're stubborn.
That's to own a mule? That seems cheap.
That's what I'm saying.
Not to rent one?
So you're saying even getting the mule to act might be tough.
Yeah.
Because of their nature. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I took one down the Grand Canyon because I had to get to the bottom.
Why'd you have to go to the bottom?
Because I was up on the top.
I know, but what's wrong with being up top?
But,
did you have something down below?
They're slow as hell. I dropped my wallet.
You're just like this the whole time.
Yeah. Ow!
Well, I need this mule to get through these scenes fast, not slow. So that could be an issue. That's concerning.
All right.
You know, a mule is a half horse and half donkey.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I did know that.
They can't reproduce.
And
can
it's
reproduce.
The dog.
Well, why don't you get yourself a horse and a donkey and make your own mule?
Horses.
Why don't you just get a donkey?
All right.
They're too small.
If you're watching us, if you're watching us on the YouTube, and it's not live, we are now going to take a 5-minute break and come back. For office hours, after hours.
But you guys stay on the same stream.
Fred, how are you doing on time? You gonna get out of here?
I have a flight in 20 minutes.
Out of where?
LAX.
LAX? You're gonna miss
20 minutes.
You're gonna miss the flight.
International.
They're probably boarding now.
Yeah, they're boarding now. Imagine.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
No, if I drive over.
My daughter Amelia will be joining us in after hours for a little check-in on her summer so far. You're welcome to stay, or if you want to get out of here, you can get out of here. I think people would love to have you around for another 20 minutes or so.
But no, I have nowhere to go. Okay. But is that what it is? It goes another 20 minutes?
Yeah.
We're going to check out a Divx circuit.
Oh, yeah. You got to stick around for this video.
Sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. We'll be right back.
I write just for you, but others hearing this may find things they would argue.
That's a good question.
I do not sing what I believe
anymore.
I only give them
the Beach Boys aren't hip anymore.
If they believe quite a is truth, and if they then decide to live with lies, that's their concern, not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.